The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
The ball sinks in towards where Davy Rogers is up. Rogers sweeps the left! Oh, Davy Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Davy Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Martin Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up. Shane Farrell at Chelsea 2-0.
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery into the back of the net. That is what champions do. That is what winners do. Pearl Slattery.
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes, goal. Shelburne lead.
His cross sticks the biggest.
Kilduffy is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute and yeah! It's all over!
Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello and welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC. Brought to you in association with our proud media partners, Off the Ball. Head over to offtheball.com for all the latest sports news, gossip, and any podcasts you might need. I'm Steve Doody, as always. I'm joined pretty much as always now, Adam, I think we can say. Adam Leonard, how art thou?
The Anton deck, nobody asked for, Steve.
I've been called many things in my time. Anton deck is not a duo I've ever been associated with.
I think we're both taller and more handsome than the two of them. Not as wealthy or successful, but we're definitely more handsome.
or as witty.
Yeah, true.
How was your bank holiday weekend?
It was, you know what, Steve? It was a quiet affair. It was a quiet one this time. Usually the bank holiday comes around and gets you, but it was all right now. I'm all geared up towards the start of the season. Looking forward to getting going. And yeah, happy to be here as ever.
Here. Now, we've some housekeeping to look after before we get going. Obviously, we'd a podcast uploaded last week. Myself and a few other members of the media team were otherwise engaged last week. So, you had to attend an important meeting on behalf of the club. So, we had no... couldn't get a pod out, basically. So, I had that interview with Stewie. It's been in the can for a little while. It seemed like a good time to put it out. I was aware of the issues with my audio. It was a 50-50 decision on the day. Somebody had to take the dicky microphone, and I reckon that people would have more interest in listening to a Reds legend than being able to hear my voice properly. But if you stuck two earphones in and put the volume up all the way, you'd have no problem hearing it. But Stewie was brilliant, as always. He's been very helpful to us with media stuff. Anytime we've needed him for anything, he's been brilliant. So, fair play to Stewie. I think the interview seemed to go down quite well. Stewie has an unlimited amount of stories behind him. He would sit and he would talk about Shells all day, every day. So, I don't know, Ads, did you give it a listen yourself? You have to say yeah now, or else you're going to send me down the river.
I did, Steve. And I'm a big fan of Stewie. Not just saying it because he played for Shells or whatever, but one of the first men's games I got to do was for the FAI Cup clash with Bowes, and I was on commentary with him that day, and you get a real sense from him that he is a genuine Shells bar. And I think I can't say he's my favourite dance partner because I've done commentary with Sean a lot, so, but Stewie's definitely up there. He's a great guy, and yeah, it was another great listen.
Since we had our last pod with me and you, a couple of birthdays, I've been told I have to put these out because a couple of people would get jealous if other birthdays were mentioned and their own weren't. So, JJ Looney, Jess Stapleton and Taylor White have all had birthdays. Jess's is today, I believe. JJ and Taylor were last week, so happy birthday to all the Reds. Other bits and pieces. The call for volunteers has gone out again. The turnstile operators, not the most glamorous volunteering job you could do it in the club, but it's something that is badly needed, and it keeps the match day running smoothly. So don't need any experience or anything like that. You just need to make yourself available from about 6:30 onwards on a match night. You're freed up and all by 8:00 to watch the game. That's no problem. So if you can help in any way, get on to Niall Fitz. He's at 087-637-9121, or you can catch him at niall@shelburnefc.ie. John Riley is looking for bar staff. Again, we've all had great crack in the bar, great fun. Everyone in there is completely on a volunteer basis. So if you can spare half a night, a full night, whatever you can give, the lads will be very, very grateful. So you'll catch John at 086-349-1860 or john.riley@shelburnefc.ie. Similar with the bar, you need to be available from about 6:30 onwards if you can. And can't really give you a time where you'll be out there, to be honest, because it kind of just depends on how well the result goes and how boisterous the crowd is that night. So that one's a little bit more vague in the details, I'd say, but you don't need any experience. Obviously, if it's somebody with experience, it'd be great. On the flip side, it might be an opportunity to get a bit of experience behind you if anyone's looking to go abroad or anything like that. A bit of bar work behind always helps. So get on to John if you can lend any time at all. The Reds are on the box. Their home game with Derry on the 31st of March, that's a Friday night, is going to be on RTE. So it's an interesting game. Derry are my favourites. We'll get on to that later on. But nevertheless, always good to be on the box. We've given Derry very, very close runs in the last, since we got promoted again. Obviously, the last game didn't go the way we would have wanted it to, but be an interesting game nevertheless. You might have a night off there, as we'll see.
Yeah, and just real quick as well, the women's Premier Division game between Shamrock Rovers and Shells in Tolka is also on TG Carter on the 18th of March.
Ads with the inside info.
You know, what can I say, Steve? What can I say? If I'm wrong, please don't direct the complaints to me. They're at Darren Cleary on Twitter. But
yeah, and he's on his phone email, so he's not going to listen to you either. Well, on the discussion of the women's game, I believe it's had a slight name change. Adam, do you want to fill us in on that?
Yeah, so going forward, I believe that the WNL is now to be referred to as the Women's Premier Division. I think it's to coincide with the Men's Premier Division, of course, and stuff like that. So, yeah, from here on in, we are going to be referring to it as the Women's Premier Division. I don't know if that's a bit of a scoop, if it's been released yet. I hope it has. Cause
well, too late now, Adam. Yeah. It's too late now. Yeah, I can almost guarantee that another two or three times in this pod, I'll call it WNL because I'm just so in the habit of it, but yeah, I'll try my best to fix it. Please don't complain. There's a home-based under-19 Ireland squad that's been put out. Tom Moan has got a good few bodies in. It's purely home-based, all League of Ireland players. Tom basically gets people in, has a look, sees what he thinks. So, well onto the Reds, get into that. Lewis Temple, Harvey Nugent, Bemi Arubi, Gav Hodgins, and David Torre. Great to see David back involved there. Obviously, he had his injury last year, and it was a bad one. And I feel like it could have been a big year for David last year. So, great to see him on the international stage and all the other Reds there. So, well done to the lads on impressing. What else do I need to dip into here? The Women's Premier Division champions, the Reds, are playing in what I think is the inaugural Women's President's Cup final. Adam, again, you might shed a bit of light on that one. Is it the first one ever?
Yeah, I believe so, Steve. Down in Athlone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the 25th of February, so that's a Saturday. It's down in Athlone's ground. It's against Athlone, obviously. They had to play the runners-up in the cup because obviously we've done the full sweep, so that's how Athlone got in. It's a 4:00 kickoff. It's live on LOI TV, and I'm sure we'll probably have contingent travel down there on the Saturday. On the Women's Premier Division team, it's a little bit men's team heavy. Reason being is we've a couple of weeks after the Premier Division season for the men starts that there will be a dedicated show for the women's team. So don't think we're skipping over at all. It's just we're a little bit more tight for time getting the men's team previewed. The women's team will have their full preview. We'll go through their signings, their ingoings, their outgoings. So we will get there. Just bear with us because we have a couple of extra weeks to work with there, because obviously it starts a little bit later. Just on the women's team, they did a smashing 5-1 win up in Cliftonville there in a friendly last week. It's the only kind of official friendly result that's been put out there. So encouraging signs for, look, it's going to be a tough year for the girls. It always is tough, but look, the addition of Rovers, Wexford have signed really well. It's going to be a tough year, but they're definitely encouraging signs. Adam, please tell me you're at the Treaty Friendly on Saturday.
Steve, I'll be deadly serious with you. I was lying at home with a slight hangover and I didn't make it down to Talca. So I'm sad to confirm I was not in Talca.
Right, and neither was I, so we'll just wrap it up there. <don't we? laughs>
Oh, good.
No, I was at a wedding on Thursday. I died on Friday and then I had some duties at home I needed to attend to because I was let out all week. So a 2-1 win, nevertheless. Again, like the friendly results have been encouraging. I'm just looking at them here in front of me. Obviously, with a 3-1 defeat to Bowes, we went on to beat Athlone 3-1 that day. We bet Drogheda 3-0 in the AUL, went down to Longford, bet them 2-0. We bet Bray in the AUL on Saturday morning, and then obviously got a 2-1 win against Treaty. So it's been encouraging. Like, we don't really look too much into friendly results. It's hard to buy too much into them, but encouraging signs nevertheless.
Yeah, I think it's a weird one. Like, friendlies in general, and the way we've been doing it with the two friendlies a day, I think it's hard to kind of pick out, like, standout things and stuff. Like, yeah, obviously players are getting back to fitness, and if you look at the goal scorers that we've had so far, you know, Jack Moylan, Matty Smith, Boyd, he's been on fire. You know, Farrell's been in there as well, so everyone seems to be getting a good run out and getting a good few goals in. But results wise, I don't think you can read a whole line to them, Steve.
No, the only friendly I've got a chance to see was the Drogheda one up in the AUL. I managed to get up to that, and we were really good. We were very, very good. Again, they're only friendly, it's about getting minutes in the tank, but we were excellent. Gav Malloy in particular, just, I was talking to Luke Byrne up there in the AUL, and he's like a 35-year-old, just the way he commands the pitch, and he's just so mature, and he had the armband for that game as well, which is probably quite telling. There was a few other more senior players than him involved, like Griff was on the pitch, Paddy Barrett was on the pitch. So, really encouraging. One thing I noticed in that friendly, and I don't know whether it's been the trend throughout the preseason, because obviously it's the only game I've seen, we played a lot wider than what we have done. Like last year in the league games, the width generally came from the two wing backs, but like Shane Farrell and Matty Smith were playing on either side and they were wide. Like they were hugging the touchline. So that's something a bit different. We are more used to kind of seeing the two number 10s kind of playing off one striker nearly, but Boyd, he didn't play that game either. And Jack Moylan, I spoke to him after the game, and he actually said he was playing in the Boydie role and then just start laughing. But he was playing like a false nine, he said. So it's just interesting. Maybe Duffer's just looking at a couple of other little options. But I would probably presume we're going to just stick to the way we played last season, that same shape, because it did work. The more games we played, the more comfortable we looked in it. Oh, what do you reckon? Would you be expecting just similar to last year, basically, in the shape, or do you think he has a couple of little tweaks in him?
I would have presumed that would have been the case. And, like, you look at a few of the body staff coming as well, it would suggest that, you know, they're coming in to play a part in the squad in those positions as well, should they be needed. So, I would have thought so. Like, I'm looking at Boydy here. He's had a good pre-season himself. So, I'd imagine, you know, if we're talking about our ideal team and the kind of shape of it, I'd imagine he'd be at the forefront of it. But I do think the general system would stay in place. And I think it's a system that in this league can do very well.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because with the two, like, if he does stick with two wide attackers, and actually on the subject of it, of wide players, Tyreek and J.R. Wilson were brilliant in that friendly as well. They were brilliant. they just, JR looked so, so lively. Tyreek's delivery is second to none. It's unbelievably sticking the ball wherever it needs to be. One thing I noticed as well for the football nerds out there, Duffer was hammering home this, it was either 4 or 5, but basically if we give the ball away in the opposition's half, they've only, five passes. So you only allow them to get 5 passes in. Like, get the ball back before they've made 5 passes. And if you don't get it back, I think it's a case of, right, just drop off.
Yeah.
And let them come at us. So looking at that, like, you'd wonder, is it something Duffer has learned that maybe we were a little bit too frantic last year, that we were chasing around all over the pitch, where maybe just chase for a certain period of time and then just drop off, like, make yourself hard to beat. It was just an interesting one, and he, like, the manager was, it was one of the only things I remember him shouting, and I was up behind the dugout now, so it was easy to hear him, but he was not letting go of that one at all. Just on that friendly as well, it was against Drogheda, and we played Drogheda in a friendly up there last year as well, and it ended up in, it was mayhem. There was tackles flying in everywhere, there was scraps breaking out all over the shop. I was surprised to see us play them again. Because usually if that happens once, it's kind of a case of, right, we park that one, let's not make that mistake again. But we played them again, and there was, it was fine up to a point, but Conor Keeley, I'm pretty sure it was Conor Keeley, an ex-Red, of course, he absolutely flew into a tackle. Now, I mean, like, it was a straight red all day long. Rob Harvey was reffing. It was definitely a straight red. Like, he...
Did Harvey give a red?
No, he didn't. Oh, yeah, no, it was one of these where the ball had kind of run away from Shane, and he was chasing it. And like, we all know Conor Keeley was not blessed with pace. And he just... I'd like to be generous and say he just mistimed it, but he didn't. He absolutely cleaved Shane Farrell over. And no red. There was a bit of a schmuzzle. Harvey gave a yellow, but... Like, I've seen refs in friendlies like that use a bit of common sense, and, like, not wanting to flash a red is fine, but kind of going over to the opposition manager and being like, you're right, you know,
have a word.
Yeah, get him out of here, because otherwise I'm going to have to send him off. But there was another very funny incident. A red who, I don't know, you could say an ex-red, he divided opinion even when he was here. Gary Deegan, of course, playing centre mid for Drogheda, and for whatever reason, Matty Smith decided to just trip him up in the middle of the pitch, like, for no reason. He was just, it was nowhere near the ball. It was not. He just, probably Matty just, I don't know, got a bit fed up of
being Gary's usual.
Yeah, but it made me laugh because Matty tripped him up and kind of was hobbling a couple of minutes afterwards. Gary Deegan just let a roar at him and went, "Did you hurt yourself trying to trip me up, big man?" I don't know why I enjoyed it so much, but if he could sum up Gary Deegan, probably
that
does a good job of it. But we played some great stuff. I have to say, we really did play some good stuff. Shane Farrell was electric. Jack Moylan was brilliant. Matty Smith looked sharp. That's one thing I would say. We looked very, very sharp. Drogheda looked quite sluggish, didn't really look at it. Again, if we're not reading into pre-season when it's going well, probably shouldn't read into Drogheda not being great either. But
yeah, I'd say
didn't look great.
For Drogheda, again, I'd say it's a case of, you know, players coming back and getting up to fitness and things like that as well. So I wouldn't read a whole lot into it. It's a tight league as it is, so, you know, I don't think Drogheda are going to be reworking the wheel this season. But just a quick one. You said about the football nerds, Steve. And I don't know if I should class myself as one of them, but I probably would. And the interesting thing I find about Duff and what you're saying there about the tactic of, you know, 4 or 5 passes, and if you don't get it back, regroup, sit back, keep your shape, be compact. I actually think that's probably Shells at our best under Duff is... when we play like that, when we're hard to beat. I think a great example of it is last season. I was at home in the league when we drew 1-1. I think JR got sent off, and we just nullified them completely and didn't let them get any chances, didn't get any shots away and stuff. And I remember Duff you know, celebrated with the Riverside after. So obviously that side of the game means a lot to him. But I know we were talking a while ago about, you know, potentially doing a podcast with him. I would love to pick his brain about the likes of, you know, working with Jose, working with Giovanni Trapattoni, and even Roy Hodgson. I think, you know, he got to a European final with Fulham as well. So that's one, you know, people might forget. So I think he's probably picking parts of everyone's game that he's worked with. And, you know, I think this season could be a very interesting one from Michelle's point of view.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of nearly... There hasn't been much change in the squad and that kind of what we got rid of, we kind of replaced. But one of the players made the point there at that Drogheda game, that look at the difference in the bench. Like, we've bodies now that can, like, just say for argument's sake, that front three that started against Drogheda. So it was Smith on one side, Farrell on the other, and then you had Moylan was playing as a false nine. Just say that was the way we started the season. It probably won't be. But if that was what you started with, you're still going to have... Boydie, Kyle Robinson, Gav Hodgins, Jad, who hasn't been fit. Like, there's three good attacking options. Like, I'd be spoofing you if I told you I knew loads about Kyle Robinson, but I do know somebody who was involved with Pats last year, and, like, of course, as soon as I seen the sign and dropped him a text and said, look, what's the story, what are we getting? And the exact text I got off him back was, he's an absolute bullet, and if a ball drops to him in the box, he'll finish it. So, like, that's not... it's pretty encouraging, if you ask me. So, like, compare that to bringing Dan Carr off the bench last year. You know, it's kind of a no-brainer. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited by the squad. It's not massively different, but I think we've just added a bit. We've filled out the squad a little bit more, and I think that let us down at times last year, because
yeah.
I think you mentioned it on the last pod, we were always kind of sluggish on a Monday night game. So they're important additions for that, those kind of games.
What I like about them as well, Steve, is, you know, they're young players as well. You know, Tyreek's been around a while, but he's still, you know, he's not one of like an elder statesman. I think when the last time we came into the league in 2020, like the likes of Carl Shepherd, you know, even Gary Deegan to an extent, I think it's a young league. I think it's a young person's league now, you know, and there's a lot of coming and going back to England and Scotland and then coming back here and stuff. And look, we have the experience with the likes of Griff, Paddy Barrett, Lukey Bowen. But I think it's key that to keep the team young. And I really like the additions. As I said, I think this season could be very interesting for a lot of reasons, but I really like the squad shells have assembled.
Yeah, more encouragement actually that I heard last week. Conor Kane is back running. He's back doing his bit of running and training, which that's huge. Like, that's a lot of times that's the big kind of psychological barrier, is just getting back on your feet and putting a bit of weight on a knee or an ankle when you've injured it like that. So brilliant to see Conor back, and that'd be an interesting one there, himself and Tyreek battling it out for that left wing back spot, because like, before Conor got injured, he was starting, and that was kind of it. The only other competition he really had was Cameron, and Cam kind of ended up being more of a competition for Griff in the end. So
yeah. That's
interesting. I think it'll, like, you'd have to think that left wing back spot is going to be Tyreek's when the season starts, because Conor won't be back fit yet. But just be good to see, like, will you get more out of Tyreek because he's being pushed? Will Tyreek fade away a bit because he won't like the bit of pressure? Like, it's just, you don't know what you're going to get. That's what I'm talking about, the bit of depth that we didn't really have last year. So, one more outgoing, actually, that I just want to give him a little mention. Keith Brown, obviously, is gone from the club. Keith was the physio. A lot of you probably won't even, you know, won't know the name, but you would have known the face. So, all the best to Keith with whatever he does. I don't know the circumstances of him leaving. I don't know whether he's got another gig or I haven't a clue. We know some things on this pod, but we don't know everything. And that's something I definitely don't know what the story is there. But all the best to Keith from everybody at the club. Adam, we're going to do something that we've never done on the pod. Well, not that I know of. We're going to talk about the league a little bit. Now, you know me, I'm not one of these hashtag League of Ireland family types. in race the slightest. Yeah. Yeah, but I just think to kind of gauge where we are or where we're going to fit into this kind of league, we're going to give a couple of little predictions. Now feel free to bottle these predictions. Bring them back to me in November or whenever the league finishes and say, my God.
We always knew
you were a bit of a spoofer, but Jesus, this is another level of spoof. But we'll start with us, with the Reds. Where do you see us ending up? Not where do you hope we end up, where do you realistically see us ending up?
So this is what I mean by it could be an interesting season. So I think priority for Shells and for Duffer and for, I think, the majority of fans is going to be staying up. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I think that's a fairly sane thing to want, you know, to be solidified in the league. That's what you want, really. I think the league would probably be broken into three separate groups. And I think we're somewhere in the middle. I think potentially that fourth spot is, I think it's attainable. Whether we get there or not, I don't know. But I think I'd be looking at Shells potentially finishing between fourth and eighth. That'd be kind of the ballpark where I think we'll finish. Because I do think this squad is very good. And I'm not saying this to put pressure on anyone, you know. I'm saying that as if the lads be listening going, oh, the pressure's on now because he said this. But it's a very good squad. Like, you're talking about players there, like even Cam Ledwich. Cam had a great season for us last season. And he's a fantastic player. But there's so many fantastic players. But, you know, you're talking about Tyreek against Connor Kane. You know, you look at the right side, JR, Shane Farrell. You know, you look at the forward options, the midfield options. Like, it's the nucleus of what was good about us last season is there. And we've added on to that this season with good young players. We've added on to it with a centre-half and Paddy Barry, who, you know, had a cracking season with Pat Steer. They won the cup. Had a bit of an off-season last season, for whatever reason that may be. He's still a quality player. I just think there's great quality in the squad. So if I'm being diplomatic, I'm going to say I think the highest position we could definitely finish is fourth. I do think fourth is attainable. But I'm going to say we're going to finish sixth. Just to play it safe, I'll say sixth.
Ooh, I'm going seventh. Yeah. I'm going seventh. And I don't know why. Maybe it's a bit of Shell's pessimism. I don't know. But I can assure you as well, the players are listening. I can guarantee you that. So I have first-hand experience of that. So. And that player knows who he is. But we're all friends now, so it's fine.
Oh no.
Right, so I've got 7 out of 10. You've got us 6th out of 10?
Yeah, I'll go 6th.
Right, okay. Moving away from the Reds then. Who wins it?
Again, this is... as I said, I do think it's a young person's league now. I do think the majority of the squads are very young, you know, probably with the exception of Rovers, who have that experience there, the likes of Graham Bourke, Jack Bourne, Richie Tails still around. But they've added on to that with the likes of Trevor Clark coming back from, was it Bristol Rovers, I think. They have the Estonian Marcus Pilm. I've heard good things about him. You know, Johnny Kenny coming back from, I think it was Celtic. You know, his season for Sligo in 2021 was, I think, 12 goals in 23 games, which is, there's nothing to be sniffed at. And then obviously Liam Bourke as well. So they've brought in quality and they have that experience there. I have a feeling, however, I'm not saying because you kind of alluded to it earlier. I have a strange feeling that this is Derry's season. Adam O'Reilly coming in from Preston, of course, he's with Pats. Colin Whelan from UCD. They still have the majority of their players from last season. You know, the McElhenney brothers, Michael Duffy, like it's a quality side. So I'm going to go out on the limb and say Derry are going to win the league.
I did think Derry, just because of the quality, but I'd be a big believer and you can't beat experience. And just have a feeling that Rovers will just do the job. They've had kind of a habit of doing that the last couple of years. They just get over the line. They know how to win. They didn't have a Jack Byrne at his best last year. Definitely not. If he's back to his best, all bets are off. You may forget about it. He's the best player in the league by a country mile.
Yeah.
And as you say, a couple of little additions, like Trevor Clark coming back, knows his way around the league. Johnny Kenny coming back, knows his way around the league. I'd probably just lean on Rovers, but they'd be good games. That's for sure. I don't see... Do you see anyone else even getting close to those two?
When I said... If I can get the words out of my mouth. When I said the league would be broken up into three kind of... I have Pats in that section with Rovers and Derry. Probably not as good, but like you look through the team, Joe Redmond's a fantastic centre half. You know, Jake Mulroney, Give Forrest, Aaron Doyle. Like they've an unbelievable little group as well that could hoard teams. So I'd expect Pats to be up there. But I'd say Pats, Derry and Rovers be the three I'd be looking at, because look at Rovers with the experience. I think Derry have the quality, and I think Pats have a good bit of quality there as well that makes for an interesting league, let's say.
Yeah, funny, I don't see Pats getting near either of them.
Right.
Don't know what it is. I think Derry and Rovers were just a cut above everybody last year. Anytime I see them play, they were just streets ahead of everybody. So that's why I see those two just kind of pulling away a little bit. Yeah. Then, like the other thing I was going to ask you was, who do you think is going to get into Europe? So obviously, Derry and Rovers, either or, are going to have the top two sewn up. So there's two other spots. You're obviously going, Pats going to finish third and get European place.
Yeah, I'd say Pats be up there. And if they're not toward, they're going to be first or second. I don't know what it is. I just think they have a good little squad. But yeah, I think that would be the top three.
So who's your cup winner? Because let's keep it interesting and hope somebody from outside the top three wins the cup.
So I actually have... Because I think Derry win the league, I think Rovers might shift their focus onto the cup. Now, I know that's not how these things specifically work, but I fancy Rovers to win the cup. And if you're given an outside bet, and I know keep things interesting, I'm actually a bit of a fan of the team down in Waterford. I think Danny Searle's doing a decent job. I know they shafted us with tickets for the semi-final, but... I think they're an exciting little side. So if someone from the fourth division team and go close in the cup, I'd say Waterford. They've done well last season as well, but I'm gonna go with Shamrock Rovers.
I'm all in on the Reds.
Mm.
I think we're gonna go back and right the wrongs from the cup final last year. I think the team is set up nice for cup football.
Yeah.
And
it's all about the run as well, Steve. Like you can
Yeah, of course.
The run we went on last season, I can't remember enjoying a cup run as much because there was no goals conceded. Some of the games were, like the game against Bowes at home, I remember saying to you, I think it was after the Derry game and the cup was being drawn, I remember saying to you that I'd love Bowes at home, and then obviously we got them and beat them. But it's just a great cup run. Yeah, you could very well be right now. I wouldn't rule this out either, to be fair.
Yeah, the reason I think we'll do something in that cup is because they're still very hurt over it. Like I interviewed Jack just quickly after the draw of the game, after the friendly, and like asked him how pre-season was, and he mentioned the cup nearly straight away. The cup defeat, Luke Byrne at the afters of the cup final was talking tactics with me about how we were beaten and how it shouldn't have happened and how we could have fixed it. And the manager was so hurt after the game. I don't know. I think for a team like us in the position we were in, you know, newly promoted, new manager, a lot of new bodies, most people are just look at getting to a cup final as, you know, fair play, you know, we got there, we enjoyed our day, but that's not the way they looked at it at all. It was a missed opportunity. They were disappointed with how the day went. So I just think, obviously, a lot of it depends on a draw. You know, you can get a decent draw, or you could, at the first hurdle, get Derry away or Rovers away, and like straight away you're up against it. But yeah, I fancy us to do something in the cup. I don't know why. So you're going Rovers for the cup, I'm all in on the Reds for the cup.
But now that you've said all this to me, I kind of want to say us for the cup as well, because that outlook that you're talking about there, you know, I know from knowing you, you're a believer of that as well, that, look, the day out's great or whatever, but, you know, the lads are hurting and they want to right that wrong. And I do think that's the right outlook to have. So, by God, I'd love it if we did now. It'd be unbelievable. And I wouldn't rule it out either. I'm just picking a name at the end of the day. So, love to see us with the cup now, I'd say.
It'll also be interesting to see how where Darren Cleary stands on it, because he was so anti-cup, and then there was nobody more happy to be involved in a cup final. So,
yeah.
Keep things interesting. Relegated, who's going to finish bottom and who's going to finish in the playoff?
It's a toss-up between, for me anyways, UCD and Drogheda. I think anyone looking at the table would probably say the same. Without having looking at the squads and stuff. I know Cork are coming back up. You know, they're a bit of an unknown side. You know, it's a very young side. They've made a good few additions. Owalabi coming in. So it's a strange one looking at the bottom two, but I'd say UCD bottom and Drogheda second bottom would be my guess.
Yeah, I'd flip them. I'd have Drogheda
right. Bottom.
I just, by all accounts, they're struggling off the pitch as well.
Mm.
Money supposedly isn't great at the moment, and that causes a lot of disruptions in the dressing room. They didn't look good. And I know it's only a friendly. It's hard to buy too much into it, but they just didn't look good. Didn't seem to have much at all. They were very slow and sluggish. So as much as I love Kev Doherty, and I wouldn't go as far as to say I'd want Drogheda to stay up, but if there was anyone I'd want to wish well on, it'd be Kev Doherty. So, but no, I'm having Drogheda straight down. I'm having UCD in the playoff. Top scorer.
This is, again, it's a tough one. I think Mulroney from Pats is going to have, see the way we're talking about Jack Bourne being, you know, the best player in the league 1 mile. I think probably the closest player to him in terms of quality would probably be Mulroney coming over from the MLS. But there's a few. Like, I think Rory Gaffney at Rovers, I think you could say he's a shoo-in. But I don't think we can have this conversation without giving Boydie a shout.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, 32 games last season, 15 goals. Now, he didn't start all those games, so it's hard to kind of find out what the ratio really is. But you're talking a goal every two games, and for any striker, that's a good return. I'm going to back Boydie, and I'm going to say Boydie's going to have a good season. So I'll go with Sean Boyd.
Yeah, the two names I jotted down, I had Owen Doyle, just because he just has the knack, just popping up where he needs to pop up. The other one, if he's fit, and I'm not sure what level of fitness he's at, but with the level of service he'll get, Colin Whelan, I have there as a little outside show. Right, so anyone who's fallen asleep during that because they've no interest in it, I know definitely a couple of people are going to give out about that. But look, we're public, we're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts now, so if we can drag in a couple of extra listeners with general league chat, I'm not totally against it. So the important bit, back concentrating on the Reds. Adam, give me your starting 11 for the first game of the season.
Right, Steve. So looking at the Drogheda game, the last time we played,
we'll break it down. We'll go position by position, right? So give me your goalkeeper first.
Yeah, I think Conor Kearns is probably going to start, isn't he?
I disagree.
Well, okay.
I disagree, and the reason is this theory was given to us last year, and it turned out to be very, very accurate.
Right.
That the keeper who played under lights started the season. So Lewis Webb, in all the away friendlies that were played under floodlights, Lewis Webb started all of them games, and Clarkey started all the games in the AUL, and Lewis obviously ended up starting the season as the main goalkeeper. If I'm right in saying all the games under lights, Scott van der Sluis has started.
Right.
So that's the only reason I'm going with that. Yeah. Now, part of me thinks was Scott very, very unlucky last year in that Clarkey was the number one and kind of that was it. No, there was no chance. I know Scott's only appearance, wasn't it? Was up in the cup game.
Bonagy, was it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was his only appearance. So
yeah,
it's obviously something there if we've re-signed him. you know, you're not going to re-sign him just for the crack. So
he seems like a good lad as well. Like, seems like a good lad to have around the dressing room.
Yeah, he's come out with a couple. Yeah, he's come out with a couple of bold statements. I'm not gonna hang him out because we can't hold everyone to every word that comes out our mouth. But Scott knows. He knows what he said. And that's nothing against Conor Cairns. It's just that theory was put to me that the keeper that plays under the lights starts the season, and that's the way it worked out last year. That's the only thing I'm basing it off. Yeah. Conor was very, very solid. He played the draw of the game that I seen. Very, very solid. So, look, that's a toss-up. I think it's more of a toss-up than people think. I think everyone thinks Conor's nailed on to be the number one, but I don't think it's that easy.
Mm.
So, your three centre-halves, this obviously presuming we go with the same formation as last year.
Yeah. So, three at the back, I think we talked about before. I don't think it can look much further than Paddy Barrett, Lukey Bourne and Griff. That'd be my back three.
Yeah, I don't know if Luke is going to be fit.
Right.
Because I know he sat out the pre-season, the games. I know he was back. He's back training, okay, but he hasn't really played much. Now, we've done this week on purpose because you presume the team that plays down in Galway on Friday is going to be the team that starts the season. So, I want... You suggested this earlier, so right, better off doing it today because giving us a fair chance to get predictions in. I don't know if Luke is going to be fit. Now, that's me guessing. I've no idea whether he is or isn't fit, but he obviously hasn't played. So I think Andrew Quinn could start on the right of the back three. I think Paddy Barrett could be in the middle of it, and I think Griff could be on the left side of it. But how worried would you be if we started the season without Luke?
Again, it's a tough one considering how we started last season with Webb and goal, and obviously Clarke came in. I know that wasn't down to injury, but look, at I think Lukey, I don't think he missed a lot of games last season, Steve, did he? I think he might have played. I think he played the majority of them, so
he did, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be disappointing not to see him start like the league campaign, but like the options there, like Andrew Quinn's a good player as well to have. So, you know, that's why these players have been brought in. Alternatively speaking, you could even see Cameron Ledwidge in one of those positions as well. So, yeah, I suppose it would be a worry, but you know, Luke, he's come back from injuries before, and you know, he's a great red, isn't he? He's good to have the club. So, I definitely would be disappointed to see him miss a game. But I think if you look at the start of the season, we have Bowes at home. A couple of weeks later, I think maybe. The second home game's Bowes, and I think we have, is it Pats away or Rovers away the week after? So it's, you know, it's a tough start, but I think if it's to miss any of the games at the start of the season, Trot is not a bad game to miss, you know?
Yeah, here's hoping he's fit anyway, because we're always a better team with Luke than without him, that's for sure. Yeah, two wing backs?
I'm going to go JR and Tyreek.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if it's anything other than that, to be honest. The two lads looked brilliant against Drogheda, so if I was to hang my hat on two positions, they'd be the two. I'd be fairly certain that's what's going to start. I'll give you my two midfielders. Gab Malloy, I think, has to start.
Yeah,
I'd be gobsmacked if he didn't. He was brilliant against Drogheda. He was brilliant last season.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of the first names on the team sheet for me this year. And I would like beside him Mark Coyle.
Right. What's the reason behind that?
I just think Mark Coyle is very, very good. And I think he was very underrated. And I think we played a lot better with him in the team last year. I think we missed him when he was injured.
Yeah.
I think he's just himself and Gav together, they're both all-rounders.
Mm.
Like, they can both do everything. But they're not limited in what they can do, if that makes sense. I know when A. Dervin and Coyle were playing in the middle together, everyone was saying, oh, they're the same player, they're doing the same job. But I think Coyle and Gav Malloy can do every job.
Yeah.
They can get in the box, they can break a play, they can pick a pass, they can be nasty if they have to be. So, I don't know, I just think they'd be a good mix. Now, it's one area of the pitch, but probably were fairly spoiled in there.
Yeah.
Like, you've got Malloy, if it was Malloy and Coyle that starts, like, you're missing JJ Looney out of that, A. Dervin, Brian McManus, Evan Caffrey, as far as I know, can play in there as well as playing as a 10 or in that kind of area.
Mm.
We've options in there. We've kind of a little bit of everything, but Coyler and Gav Malloy would be my two. Who's your two midfielders?
I would go Gav Malloy, I think. I think there's a few names on the sheet that are forced up. I think he's one of them. And I have beside him JJ Looney because I just think JJ's great, isn't he? As a wonderful left foot, a bit like Gav. They have great left feet. There's something elegant about a left foot footballer. I don't know what it is. It's more elegant than a right foot footballer. But I think JJ is just great at controlling the tempo of the game. Has an eye for a pass. You know, like you said, Steve, we have an abundance of talent in there. So any kind of combination, you're kind of, you know, nodding along, you're happy with it. So I had Gav Malloy and JJ Looney written down.
Yeah, I think it could as well come down to obviously the type of game. Like we've seen Duffer a few times last year, dropped an extra body into midfield for some games, and you'd like to think for the first game at home to draw that we might be a little bit more in control. So maybe you might see a JJ in there rather than a Mark Coyle or a Gav Malloy. But I just have a feeling if anyone's nailed on, it's definitely Gav Malloy out of two positions. It's kind of who goes with him. Then, like, it's a front three after that, really, whether it's two tens and a striker or one number 10 and two strikers or wide players and a striker or a false nine, whatever it is. Give me your front three.
Matty Smith, Jack Moylan and Sean Boyd.
Oh, Shane Farrell misses out.
Mm. And again, Steve, this comes down to the fact that we have that many options up there.
Yeah.
That you can kind of switch players in and out. I think, look, it's nothing against Farrell. It's nothing against any of them. I just think Boyd, you have to play Boydy. I think he's our main goal threat. The 15 goals last season in 32 games speaks for itself. I think we set up for Ben Matty Smith when he came in. There was felt like an injection that we needed, and he was great. You know what I mean? He was great from coming in, and I think the same can be said for Jack Mullen. I thought he had a great season last season, and yeah, that'd be my front three. But again, it's one of them. We have that many options that you're kind of going, or he could slot in, or he could play. It's not a bad thing to have, you know.
Yeah, as well. I wonder, like in the game I seen, we had wider attackers. Again, will it come down to what way Duffer wants to try and break down the opposition? Like in my front three, like I have Smith, Farrell, and Boyd.
Mm.
But leaving Jack Moylan out of that seems criminal as well.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Shane on the right as the wing back though, either with JR is, because he slotted in there a couple of times last season. So there's that option to play him there as well.
Yeah, that's fair actually. That never really popped into my head, but I'm just looking like the 11 I have down is Van der Sluis, Quinn, Barrett, Griffin, Wilson by two, Gav Malloy, Mark Coyle, Matty Smith, Shane Farrell, Sean Boyd. If that was the 11. Now again, I haven't a clue. This is just all spoof. It's all content, as they say, ads. But if that was the 11 that we went with, that leaves you with a bench of Connor Cairns, Luke Byrne. Obviously, all these can't make the bench, but the player's not in the starting 11. Connor Cairns, Luke Byrne, Luke Brown, Lewis Temple, Cameron Ledwich, Jad Akiki, Brian McManus, A. Dervin, Evan Caffrey, JJ Looney, Kyle Robinson, Jack Moylan, and Gavin Hodgins. Like, that's an awful lot stronger than what we were left with last year.
And this is what I was meaning by, I think the ceiling is high this season. I think there's a very high ceiling with this team. Like, I think fourth is very attainable for that very reason that you've just explained. And you have to consider as well, like, come the summertime, you know, one or two might be headed off, or, you know, one or two might be coming in. So, like, it's very hard to predict these things, you know. I know I was one that suggested it, but it's one of those things where, like, this is a very strong squad. I'm looking at other squads around us, you know, the likes of Bowles, for example, they haven't got a centre-half stay. Now, I know there's talk of them bringing in centre-halves at the minute, but as it stands right now, as we are recording on the 7th of February, there's no centre-halves at their club. They've good midfield options as well, so going forward, I don't know what they're going to be like going forward. So Sligo lose Keane, you know, John Mahan comes in, that's a great signing. Dundalk, you know, O'Donnell's a good manager, but they've had a bit of an underwhelming window as well. So these teams that are around us, it's, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot between us is the point I'm making. And I think our squad is very strong for what it is, and, you know, good young options, players who are only going to get better. I think for that reason, that squad that you've just, you know, spelt out there, I think could be a good season for Shells.
There's definitely the potential there for it. Our last pre-season game is this Friday. We're playing Galway away. I'm waiting to find out the confirmation of the kickoff. I presume 7:45. I heard then it might be a 7 o'clock kickoff, so I'm not totally sure, but it'll go out on the socials during the week. That's it, lads. So, I reckon the Reds are going to win the Cup, finish 7th, and start with a Welsh goalkeeper again. Rolling back the years.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's it. Good content, Adam. That's what it's all about. Good content.
Well, it's content, and anyways, what we're doing now is another story. I've been told, actually, to be fair though, of the people I've talked about the podcast, people have been enjoying it. I did say to you last week, you definitely upgraded getting Street Born on. But no, it's been pleasures, obviously. I could sit here and talk about the Shell squad for hours if you needed me to, you know.
So could I. That's the problem. That is the problem. We've gone 50 minutes here. I was worried you wouldn't even get half an hour out of it. So there you go. And all this talking, and that's without Darren Cleary here to fill in the gaps. And that's without talking about Darren Cleary's wedding, which, look, there are some club photographers who need to take a long, hard look at themselves.
But, the less said, the better.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Adam, thanks a million for giving up your evening.
Not at all, Steve. Pleasure as always.
I'll chat to you soon. Good luck.
The Reds.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Rest in the sunset. Way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one.